She was my best friend growing up. Her father was actually like the closest thing I had to a dad. His name is Pat. He was super cool, and I used to go to him for advice about, you know, dude stuff. Shaving and shit. Anyway, they lived only a few doors down from us. What did she look like? She had brown hair, not as dark as yours, though. She was pretty. She actually wore glasses like you sometimes. We were close. But I never looked at her in a sexual way. Until we were about 17. She swallowed. Then what happened? I wish I knew what the turning point was. I guess it was just teenage hormones doing their thing. I didn't really think anything like that would ever happen with her. I never wanted to go there. Anyway, one night, it did. We ended up having sex, and it really put a strain on our relationship. Gia sighed. Wow. There was no way I was ready for anything serious. She wanted more after that, and I just couldn't commit to anything that young. But I really did care about her, and I always regretted hurting her. We were kids, and she was practically family. Things were really never the same after that happened. Where is she today? After we graduated from high school, her father ended up getting a job out in Arizona. When her parents and brother moved out there, she followed them, even though she was old enough to stay out here on her own if she really wanted to. I think if I'd begged her to stay, she would have. But like I said, I wasn't ready for that. So she moved. Do you ever talk to her anymore? We've kept in touch. She's actually married now with a kid. So everything worked out the way it was supposed to. I bet she still fantasizes about you. She smiled. I pulled her into me. Oh, yeah? What makes you think that? Because I couldn't imagine having sex with you and having to go back to being just friends. Well, you won't have to worry about that. I have no interest in only being friends with you ever again, because my intentions are completely impure when it comes to you, and I don't anticipate that ever changing. I laughed. She ran her fingers through my hair, then posed another question, one that threw me for a loop a little. Do you believe in God? My feelings on that were complex. I did my best to offer an explanation of how I saw things when it came to spirituality. Yes, I do. Well, at least I believe there's something powerful that watches over all of us. But the only thing that's certain to me is that we weren't meant to know everything. Anyone who claims to understand exactly how this complex universe works is a fucking liar. Or they're believing what they want to. We all just have to do our best with what knowledge we have and have a little bit of blind faith. We get signs every day that tell us whether we're on the right path. People and opportunities are placed before us. You know that feeling you get when something feels truly right in life? Like all the stars finally aligned? That trust you feel that the universe has sent you exactly what you need, even if you didn't realize you needed it? Yes. Well, that to me is God. She stayed quiet, soaking in my answer. For some reason, since we were being open, I had the urge to share something with her that I hadn't shared with anyone other than my mother. I nudged her up. Can I show you something?
Yeah.
With our hands locked together, I led her to a spare room inside at the back of my house. It was where I housed my own artwork, along with all of my tattoo equipment that I never parted with. I still dabbled in design, mainly word-of-mouth stuff, friends who wanted new ink. She walked around, gazing at the paintings on the wall. I made these.
These are yours?
I nodded. It wasn't that I was ashamed of what I'd created, but these weren't the type of images you flaunted in the middle of your living room. From the time I was a teenager, I'd had an obsession with painting beautiful women. But not just any women. Sexy, sensual women with wings. I don't know if you could consider them fantasy angels or fairies, but they all had a few things in common. Long hair, sexy, voluptuous bodies, piercing eyes, and wings. Some were naked. Others were clothed. I could totally see how the average woman might find these images creepy, but I suspected that Gia wouldn't. I knew she was open-minded and would find the artistic value in them. I don't even know why I'm showing you these, I said. You seem so interested in my mother's art. Obviously, these are a lot different than sunsets.
Yeah, they are. They're absolutely stunning, breathtaking.
She stopped in front of one of the darker images, a demonic-looking girl with black wings and horns.
What made you decide to start making these?
Shrugging, I said, I wish I knew. I just find them to be beautiful and mysterious. I haven't actually created one in a few years, though. These are all pretty old, and you'll notice each one is slightly unfinished. It's like I would get hung up on making it perfect, then move on to the next one out of frustration. She smiled.
I almost feel jealous of them. That's how beautiful they are. Is that strange?
Well, I'd take that as a compliment. I chuckled. They don't compare to you. They're fantasy. All the things that make them beautiful, the strength they seem to convey, that's all brought to life whenever I look at you, whenever I'm with you. Gia looked like she was trying to fend off tears again. Was it something I said? She walked over to where I kept all of my ink supplies.
Oh my God, is this where you tattoo people?
I rented space in a shop back when I was doing it for a living, but I took all of my stuff with me. So I have a little setup here. In the corner of the room, I had a table along with various pieces of equipment. A steam pressure autoclave, needle bar setups, and several sealed containers to keep things sterile.
Can I ask you something? She said.
Shoot.
Would you do anything for me?
She reached up and wrapped her arms around my neck. Leaning down, I tasted her lips, then said, Pretty sure I would, yeah. Unless you said you wanted me to let you fuck another dude while I watched. That's a hard limit. I don't share.
Well then, this request will seem like nothing compared to that.
What is it?
Will you draw something small on my body tonight? I want you to choose where it goes and what it is. Not a permanent tattoo or anything, just your artwork on my body. I want something created by you just for me.
I expelled a breath. She knew how I felt about actually tattooing her, that I'd refused to do it. She'd asked me to before, and I'd said no. It wasn't that I didn't want to put my mark on her. I just didn't want her to regret altering her perfect body if she wasn't absolutely sure about it. So this seemed harmless. You really want me to draw on your skin?
I really want you to. Yes. Please.
The urgency in her request was odd, but at the same time, the prospect of getting to mark her, albeit temporarily, with something of my choice excited me. You're a pain in the ass, I teased. Her face brightened as she realized I was giving in to her request.
Thank you,
she beamed. Go lie on the table, but first, take off your clothes. Take off everything. She did as I said and made her way over to the table I had set up. She was stark naked.
How do you want me?
There are so many ways I could answer that question. My dick stiffened to full mast as I said, Lie on your stomach first. Gia did as I said, and suddenly I was staring at her beautiful ass face up on the table. I softly kissed her back, lowering my mouth slowly down to her butt cheeks. I knew exactly where I wanted to put my mark on her, but was too worked up to even start. I needed to make her squirm first. Taking my finger to my mouth, I licked it before slipping it between her legs and into her pussy. She flinched at the contact. I added my index finger and pushed deeper into her. With my thumb firmly placed on her ass, I moved my two fingers in and out of her hole as she wriggled under my hand. I was so tempted to replace my fingers with my cock. But before I could even really consider that, her hands gripped the table as she moved her ass in sync with the motion of my fingers. Then, I could feel her pulsating around my hand as she came. It was a beautiful sight as she panted with her face down on the table. As she came down from her orgasm, I rubbed my calloused palm over the soft skin of her ass. You ready? Out of breath, she rolled over onto her back, her beautiful tits bouncing.
I hope you don't give all your clients orgasms before working on them.
Only you, baby. I leaned down one last time to take her nipple into my mouth. I was hard as fuck, but I'd promised her some ink. Get on your stomach again. I knew exactly what design I wanted for her and began drawing it onto her lower back just above her ass crack. It had been a long time, but I didn't feel rusty at all. I used a violet-colored pen, just the color I'd choose if this were permanent ink. It took me about 10 minutes.
Ready to see it?
Oh, my God, yes.
I helped Gia down from the table, and she walked her gorgeous naked body over to a mirror on the wall. She turned her head to look at what I'd drawn on her. Her eyes focused in on the small pair of wings at the bottom of her back.
You gave me wings.
Her mouth spread into a wide grin.
Now I'm one of your girls.
I pulled her into me. No, you're the girl. I don't have to imagine anything anymore. Somehow I managed to not lose control as she slept in my bed that night. We messed around, but we didn't fuck. I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I couldn't wait any longer, though. If she was down, the next night we were together, I was going to have her. I needed to be inside of her. Gia's car wouldn't start when she tried to leave my place the next morning. I couldn't believe it. That piece of shit had died again after I'd just fixed it. So I gladly drove her home in my Mustang. When we got there, I needed to take a leak badly, so I used the small bathroom off the hallway just outside of her bedroom. As I shook my cock off into the toilet, I looked down at the trash bin and noticed the packaging of a pregnancy test. There were two sticks in the garbage, too. Being the nosy motherfucker that I am, I lifted them out and noticed two pink lines on each of them. Someone in this house was pregnant. But who? This bathroom was shared by three of the bedrooms. Gia and Riley had their own rooms, and then the other bedroom off of this hall was shared by two dudes. The stick must have belonged to Riley. Yeah, it had to be. Well, it couldn't be Gia, I knew that, because she hadn't fucked anyone. My heart was pounding. Right? It couldn't be. She hadn't fucked anyone. Except for that guy from the Heights. But she had to have used protection, right? As the seconds passed, I became more and more paranoid.
Everything okay in there?
I heard Gia ask.
Yeah,
I shouted through the door. My mind wandered back to last night. I started thinking more about some of her odd behavior. All the questions, implying there was no time. The crying. The tits. Holy shit, her tits, which looked like they had grown from the last time I'd seen her. It couldn't be. No, no, no. The stick was still in my shaking hand as I flexed my fingers, letting it once again fall into the trash. When I opened the door, Gia was standing there looking like she'd seen a ghost. She was trembling, freaking out. She'd figured out her fuck-up, that she'd left the tests in the garbage. Adrenaline shot through me as the words exited my mouth. Are you pregnant?
Chapter 19. I thought my heart had broken when I looked at the results of the pregnancy test. But it hadn't. It had cracked, yet continued to beat. I knew this the moment I looked into Rush's eyes, because that was the moment that those cracks gave way, and my heart shattered into a million little pieces. I couldn't even respond to him. I just stood there and let the tears stream down my face. The pain in Rush's eyes matched the excruciating ache inside of my chest.
Fuck!
He screamed.
Fuck!
He tugged fistfuls of his hair with both hands.
Fuck! Fuck! Fuck!
Riley whipped open her bedroom door and ran into the hallway looking like we'd woken her. What's going on? Is everything okay? She took one look at us and knew what had just gone down. Mouthing, I'm sorry, she turned and slipped back into her bedroom, shutting the door quietly behind her. My eyes caught with Rush's.
Say it, Gia.
His voice was the type of calm that happened in the eye of the storm. You know there's a big swirl growing and growing that will hit even harder very soon, and you can only brace for it. I'm sorry, I whispered. I don't know how it happened.
You don't know how it fucking happened.
My tears had been silent, but the bubble burst. Sobs shook my shoulders and weakened my legs as I lowered to the floor.
Fuck!
Rush gritted.
Fuck! 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 Fuck!
Through my blurred vision, I saw him move, and for a few horrible seconds, I thought he was leaving. thought he was going to walk past me sitting on the floor and right out the front door. But then suddenly, I was in the air and in Rush's arms. He scooped me up and carried me into my bedroom. Kicking the door closed behind him, he walked to the bed and gently set me down. We used protection. I swear we did, and it was only once. I've only had sex with one person in more than a year. One time, and this happens. Rush sat next to me and just kept nodding. I'm sorry I didn't tell you. I only found out yesterday, and I just couldn't say it out loud yet. Long minutes went by, and he continued to just sit there and nod. Say something. Please, I whispered while wiping away tears. He couldn't even look at me.
You said you don't even know the guy's number.
I looked down and shook my head.
What kind of a piece of shit doesn't even give a woman the right contact information?
The kind who doesn't want to be involved in your life after one night? Rush took a deep breath and let it out. Then he finally turned to face me.
Jesus Christ. Have you thought about what you're going to do?
I haven't been able to think about anything, Rush. Honestly, I've been so worried about what you would think. It hasn't really sunk in yet. I know I can't have an abortion, though. If my mom had... Rush reached over and took my hand.
I know. I get it.
We sat in quiet again. Eventually, I said, I'm not ready to be a mother. I live in a studio apartment in Queens, and I have a one-book commitment from a publisher with a tiny advance, which they'll probably have to sue me to get back when I don't turn in a manuscript on time. I don't know the first thing about babies, or being a mother for that matter. I didn't even have a maternal example growing up. But what terrifies me the most is... I turned to face him, and he looked up into my eyes. What does this all mean between you and me?
Gia.
Rush raked his hand through his hair for what seemed like the 10th time.
I don't have any answers.
I didn't have a right to be mad at his non-committal response. I'd gotten myself into this predicament, and I wasn't naive enough to think this didn't change everything. But that didn't mean it wouldn't crush me to feel him pulling away. Rush's phone chimed, and he pulled it from his pocket.
Shit. The liquor company is at the Heights with my delivery. I'm supposed to be there now to accept it.
Go. I forced a smile. Can't run a bar without liquor, and unfortunately, my predicament isn't going anywhere in a hurry. He stood.
Yeah. All right. I'll see you later.
Rush walked a few steps toward my bedroom door and then came back to where I still sat on the bed.
Get some rest.
He kissed the top of my head. Somehow, I managed to keep the tears in until he walked out, and I heard his car start out front. Then, I let it all out. I cried and cried, until eventually, I cried myself to sleep.
What's up, Gia?
Oak lifted his chin when I walked into work early for my shift. I hadn't heard from Rush all day and hoped he'd be here so we could maybe talk again. The initial shock had probably turned into something different by now, and I wondered what he was feeling. His Mustang hadn't been in the parking lot when Riley dropped me off, but my car was. He must have gotten it started somehow. I went to the office and knocked. After waiting a few minutes, I took a deep breath and cracked the door open. Empty. My pulse sped up as I wandered around the main floor of the restaurant looking for him. Every time I thought he might be behind a door, in the kitchen, the supply room, the back, I held my breath as I took a peek. Each time he wasn't there, I was disappointed and relieved at the same time. On my way upstairs, the phone rang. I'd forgotten to grab it from the office where it normally sat on the charger on Rush's desk overnight, but the sound was coming from the dining area. Someone had left it at the hostess station along with my car keys. I answered the phone and took a reservation for 7 o'clock. A bar stool that wasn't usually at the hostess station was also set up there, though it wasn't one of the ones from the bar. It was leather and padded with a nice tall back. After the call, I stayed sitting in it for a few more minutes and practiced some deep breaths before heading to the stairs. The only place left where Rush could be was up on the rooftop bar. But when I got upstairs, no one was around except for Oak. He was behind the bar changing out a beer keg. I walked over. Oak, do you know where Rush is?
I haven't seen him since he dropped off your chair and car.
My chair? He's not here?
Nope.
He finished pushing the keg into its tight space and wiped his hands on a towel.
Figured you knew that. He left your car keys in that chair he bought. He said he was taking the night off.
My stomach clenched. Oh, okay. Thank you. I sulked my way back down the stairs and went to dig my phone from my purse. I hadn't checked it since I'd left the house. Maybe Rush had texted to let me know he wouldn't be in tonight. Of course, deep down, I knew from the empty feeling in the pit of my stomach that there'd be no text. But that didn't stop me from checking. An overwhelming sadness came over me when I confirmed he hadn't sent a text. I tried to tell myself that it didn't mean anything. Rush just needed some time to let everything sink in. Who wouldn't? It hadn't truly sunk in for me yet either. When Oak came back downstairs, I forced myself to get busy. Work would at least be a distraction. I did my usual pre-opening routine, although I set up my cell phone to vibrate when any new texts came in and then slipped it into my pocket while I went about getting everything ready for the night. Even though it never vibrated, I checked it incessantly anyway. Oak stopped by the hostess station while I was slipping the paper with the printed daily specials into the plastic menu jackets.
5 minutes to opening, G.
Okay, thanks. When he started to walk away, a thought dawned on me. Oak? He turned back.
Hmm?
Where is this chair I'm sitting on supposed to go? You said Rush dropped it off. Does it belong in the office?
Nope. He said something about the hostesses needing a place to rest their feet.
He winked.
But I'm pretty sure there's only one hostess whose feet Rush gives a crap about.
Despite the sadness I felt from Rush not making contact at all today and taking the night off, which I suspected was to avoid me, I latched on to the fact that he'd taken the time to go out and buy a chair so that I could have a place to rest if I needed it. Not to mention, he'd also fixed my car to make sure I wouldn't walk home. It was crazy to even think about, but Rush would make a really great father with all his protectiveness. The restaurant stayed busy for the next few hours, so at least I couldn't sit around obsessing too much over my situation. Forced smiles and friendly chit-chat were basically most of my job. But by 10 o'clock, when things slowed down, and I'd practically killed my phone battery from constantly checking for a message that never arrived, I had no more fake smiles to give. Oak noticed and stopped by.
You okay, G?
Yeah, just a bit tired. It wasn't a lie. I was exhausted, both emotionally and physically. Oak raised a single eyebrow.
Mm-hmm. Boss looked just a bit tired when he stopped in, too.
Did he say anything?
If you haven't noticed, Rush is a thinker, not much of a talker.
That comment was awarded my first genuine smile of the evening. Oak looked over my shoulder into the dining room.
Looks like you only have one table left. They all finished.
Yeah, just sipping their coffee. The waitress left them the bill, but they aren't rushing to pay it, so I can run the credit card. He nodded his head toward the door.
Go home. I'll run the card. Get some rest. While you're at it, call the man and tell him you forgive him for whatever stupid shit he did wrong.
I wished it were that easy. You sure you don't mind?
Go home. Boss man would kick my ass if he knew I didn't send you home when you needed to go.
Thanks, Oak. I drove home in a fog. It was stupid of me, and in the future, I probably shouldn't put myself at risk like that if I'm not feeling alert enough to drive. It wasn't just me anymore I needed to think about. When I pulled up to my house, I killed the ignition and relaxed back into the driver's seat. For the first time, I put my hand on my stomach. It felt surreal to acknowledge that there was a person growing inside of me. Hey, I guess I'm your mom. I rubbed a gentle circle just below my belly button. I feel like I should have introduced myself by now, but I only found out you existed yesterday. God, has it really only been one day? I took a deep breath. I just wanted you to know that just because you weren't planned doesn't mean that I'll ever make you feel like you are unwanted. My dad used to say, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% what you make of it. And you and me, we're going to make the best of it, just like my dad and I did. Finished with my odd little introduction, I pulled my phone from the car charger, tossed the keys into my purse, and got out of the car. As I walked to the front door, I couldn't help but check my text messages again. After all, the 15-minute drive home was probably the longest stretch I'd gone without checking all day. But nothing was there. Again. Looking down while I wallowed in self-pity, I made it almost to the door when a voice scared the crap out of me.
Gia.
I jumped, and my hand whipped to my chest. Rush was standing in the dark in front of my door. Holy crap! How long have you been standing there?
A while,
he said.
I was here waiting when you pulled up. It looked like you needed to take a minute in the car, so I didn't want to walk over.
Yeah, I looked over my shoulder behind me. Had I been that unaware of my surroundings that I hadn't even seen his car when I pulled up? But I still didn't see it. Where's your car?
I walked here.
That has to be at least a few miles. Rush shrugged.
I was drinking earlier, and I needed some time to think anyway. The walk did me good.
Our gazes locked. Oh.
You feel up to talking?
Of course. I went to step forward to open the front door, and Rush stopped me.
Would you mind if we sat in the yard? Maybe the lounge chairs to talk.
Sure. Can I get you a drink or something? Rush shook his head.
No thanks. I'm good.
He stepped aside and put his hand out for me to walk first. While we made our way to the gate leading to the backyard, I wondered why he didn't want to come in. Did he not want to be alone with me in my room? Did he think there would be yelling and he wanted privacy? Could I be overthinking it, and he just wanted to enjoy the nice weather tonight? In the yard, Rush pulled two lounge chairs together and sat down on the edge of one facing me. I took his lead and sat across from him. The outside security lights had illuminated when we'd walked by, so I caught the first up-close look at him in the light. Rush looked awful, like he'd gone on a bender and someone ran over his dog while he watched. His hair definitely had withstood a continuation of this morning's tug of war. He rested his elbows on his knees and hung his head.
How are you feeling?
Physically, I'm good. Tired, but good.
You're going to need more rest. Keep off your feet when you can.
I smiled. Well, I can do that at work now, thanks to you. He nodded.
I did a lot of thinking today.
Okay.
I thought about the things you said that you're worried about. You're not ready. You live in a studio apartment. You don't have a steady job, and you don't know how to be a mother.
Wow. He'd really listened. I didn't mean to unload all of my problems on you. I was just rambling because I'm scared.
Well, you need to reduce stress now, not increase it worrying about things. So I want to help.
My hopes rose. What do you mean?
First, the studio apartment in Queens. There's something I haven't mentioned to you about your summer rental.
What?
I own it.
You bought the house?
Not today. I meant I'm the owner you rented from. Well, my corporation is. This house and two others out here were part of my inheritance from my grandfather. He actually owned a bunch, and he split them up between my brother, my father, and me. Like he did with a lot of his other businesses.
Why didn't you say anything? Rush chuckled.
I have no fucking idea. I thought it was funny at first. An odd coincidence, and then I just forgot about that you didn't know.
That's so weird. There are thousands of houses out here, and you happen to own the one that I'm renting for the summer? And I happen to get a job in your bar?
My mother would say someone up there.
He shook his thumb up at the sky.
Wanted us to meet.
I smiled. I'd have to say I agree with her.
Anyway, it's not rented after Labor Day. Normally, I just get a couple of straggler rentals for a few weekends here and there in the off-season. Not much until next summer. If I calculated correctly, your due date will be at the end of the winter. Stay out here. Use the house over the winter, rent-free. You can give up your studio apartment in Queens and save money until next summer comes.
Wow. Totally not what I expected, but it was also a lot more than I could accept from him. Rush, that's very generous of you, but he raised his hand, stopping me.
Let me finish. This solves a lot of your worries, not just the studio apartment one. You want to write. The book you're writing is set in the Hamptons. You said yourself you'd be happy if you could turn it into a series. Well, you'll write that series better by staying out here. And I pretty much lose my entire staff after Labor Day. The restaurant closes in October, but I keep the bar open year-round. It turns into a bunch of locals who don't drink all the stupid shit that the summer brats out here drink. So I'll teach you how to make a few drinks, and you can stay on as my bartender so that you have steady work.
Rush, I don't know what to say. His hand went up again.
Not done yet.
I smiled, my hopes growing by the minute. Okay.
The last thing you're worried about? Not ready to be a mother. I can't really help you there myself, but I have the perfect person who can. My mother raised me alone. I'm sure she would love to come out and spend time with you and teach you mom shit.
Mom shit.
Whatever you need to learn to make yourself feel better.
This morning, I dropped a bomb on this man, and instead of getting pissed off and running for the hills, he'd spent the day trying to solve all of my problems for me. And he had most of it figured out. It was incredibly generous and thoughtful, but he'd missed the most important part of what I'd said this morning. Or maybe he hadn't. Rush, that's the most kind and generous offer that anyone has ever attempted to give me, and I truly appreciate it more than you will ever know, but I wasn't sure how to say what I really wanted after he'd just given me so much.
What?
I did say all those things, and I don't want you to think I don't appreciate all that you're offering and how much you thought about things today. But the point of me telling you all of that earlier wasn't so that you can solve my problems. The point was, when I was done telling you how afraid I am of all those things, I took a deep breath and locked gazes with Rush before getting to the most important part. I told you I was afraid of all those things, and yet what terrifies me the most is what happens between me and you now. Rush's eyes told me the answer before he found the words. He looked distraught and sad, mixed with a touch of what I thought might be guilt. With a deep breath, he reached forward and squeezed my knee.
I'm sorry, Gia. I really am. I'm not ready for a family. I wasn't even sure if I saw a serious relationship in my life at all before I met you. It's why I kept trying to slow us down. You're an amazing woman, and I want to help you however I can, but shit just got real, and now it's not just you I'll fuck up when I eventually... I'm not ready for this.
A It felt like a 50-pound weight had settled onto my chest. It made it hard to breathe. I understand. He squeezed my knee again to get my attention. Rush looked as sad as I felt.
Stay in the house. Work the winter at the Heights. Let me help in that way, at least.
The taste of salt in my throat told me I wasn't going to be able to hold back the tears much longer. Rush felt bad enough. He was trying to do the right thing as much as he could. This wasn't his burden to carry. I stood. It's a lot to think about, but I really appreciate your offer.
Gia.
He stood. It was torture not being able to reach out and touch him in the moment. I gotta go inside. Nature calls. He looked crestfallen, but nodded. I held my head high as I hurried to the door, hoping, just hoping, that I could disguise my running away as bravery and make it a little bit easier for Rush. Chapter 20. Morning sickness apparently doesn't always come in the morning. Tonight's special was pan-fried salmon and garlic parmesan roasted asparagus. I'd always loved the smell of the kitchen at the Heights, until I walked in 2 nights after my conversation with Rush. I had to literally run to the bathroom, where I proceeded to lose the little bit I had eaten during the day. My head hung over the toilet as I dry-heaved. Nothing was left, but apparently my stomach didn't get the message. The bathroom door creaked open, then shut.
You okay?
Rush's voice was low. I gagged when I opened my mouth to answer.
What can I do?
From the closeness of his voice, I knew he was standing right on the other side of the stall door. Could you maybe get me something to drink? Some caffeine-free Coke?
Sure. Be right back.
The door opened and closed, and a few minutes later, Rush was back inside the ladies' room.
Do you want me to slip it under the door, or are you coming out?
I reached up and unlatched the bolt that kept the door shut, but didn't get up from the floor. Rush gently pushed it open. He knelt down next to me with a glass of soda.
Here you go.
I took a few hesitant sips and shook my head. Thanks. I'm sorry, I didn't see that coming. I just walked into the kitchen, and I guess the smell got to me. After being off yesterday, the first contact I had with this man had to be in a bathroom stall. More proof that he should run the other way. Rush sat down on the floor next to me.
Don't apologize. If men had to go through the shit that women do, the human race would have been extinct a long time ago.
I smiled. He brushed a hair off my face.
You okay?
Yeah. I hope that doesn't happen too often, though. The cleaning company was just here for the day. The thought of having my head in the toilet bowl after people use the stalls all night is enough to make me want to throw up again. Rush smiled.
Hang on a second.
He got up and disappeared. 2 minutes later, he was back with a piece of paper and masking tape. He ripped 2 pieces off the roll and taped the paper onto the door of the stall I was sitting in.
There. Now, this is your stall only.
I looked up and read what he'd written on the paper, now taped to the door. Out of order. I laughed. You can't put a stall out of order just in case I need to get sick.
Like fuck I can't, it's my place. There are 2 other stalls. Anyone doesn't like it, they can come talk to me, and I'll tell them there's a whole ocean out back. Go piss in that.
He extended his hand with a little silver tool that looked like an Allen key. What's that? I asked.
It's to open the door when the latch is closed, so you don't have to crawl underneath to use your clean stall. You just slip it through the crack in the door and twist. It opens the latch. You'd be surprised how many little brats come in with their parents for dinner and think it's funny to go into a stall, lock it, and then crawl out underneath.
He was continuing to kill me with his kindness. It only made me want him more when I could no longer have him. Well, thank you. I really appreciate this.
You're welcome.
He lingered silently for a bit before he said,
Anyway, I hope you don't mind. I
told my mother about the pregnancy. She wants you to know that you can call her anytime if you need to talk. I'll text you her info. Wow. I wasn't sure how I felt about Melody knowing, but something told me I was going to need to take her up on that. That's really nice of her. Thank you. A few nights later, I was alone in my room having what felt like a panic attack. I'd gone to the doctor earlier in the day, and he told me that I was indeed pregnant. He scheduled me for my first ultrasound at the next appointment. The formal news was no surprise, but it was still jarring to hear it confirmed beyond the shadow of a doubt. The shock of my pregnancy was starting to wear off, and the reality was sinking in. Everything was starting to hit me at once. The fact that I was going to be a mother. The fact that I hadn't even told my dad yet. Losing Rush. That was the hardest thing to accept. Well, maybe it would have been easier if I'd lost him totally. He was still around, making sure I was comfortable and safe at work, offering anything I needed when the only thing I really needed was his goddamn heart. His being around made things even harder, because I yearned for more, for what we had, for him. I wanted nothing more than for him to hold me at night. I'd felt so safe in his arms, and now, just when I needed him most, I couldn't have him in that way, and it wasn't fair of me to expect it. So, as I stared at Melody's beautiful sunset painting, which now stood for all of the hope that had been drained from my life, I realized I really needed to talk to someone. Feeling desperate, I looked up Rush's mom's contact information that he'd texted me and made the impulsive decision to call her. After she answered, I said, "Melody? Gia?" She knew it was me. Rush must have told her to expect my call. "Hi. Rush told me it would be okay if I called you." "Of course. He told me about your news. I would say congratulations, but I remember how that felt when people used to say it to me in the beginning. You don't feel ready for that because you're still harboring so much doubt about your abilities." She sighed into the phone. "Everything will be okay, Gia. I know it may not seem like that right now." Her calming words made me even more emotional. Is this what it's like to have a mother to talk to? I didn't waste any time getting to the point. "Would it be okay if I came to see you? To talk in person?" "Of course. Are you sure you're feeling up to driving out here? Because I could go there." "I'd actually like to come see you. I think I need to get out of town for a bit." When I told Rush I was planning to go see his mother, he refused to let me drive my car, fearing it wouldn't make it all the way there. He rented me a comfortable Honda CRV, despite my insistence that he not worry about me. But once on the freeway, I was grateful not to have to white-knuckle my way through the ride. On the way to Melody's, I grabbed a decaf tea from Starbucks and put on a romance audiobook about this hot Australian guy and a damn goat. The weather was perfect for a long ride, and it ended up being very relaxing, just what I needed to clear my head somewhat before seeing her. Melody was gardening outside when I pulled into her driveway. She brushed the dirt off her smock and came over to the car. I rolled down the window.
"You made it in good time," she smiled.
"Yeah, traffic was light." We stepped inside. It was comforting to be back in her home, surrounded by all of the bright colors and paintings. Melody had a very bohemian style, and there was a zen vibe throughout the place. We sat down in her kitchen, where she'd set up a fruit and cheese plate along with a large pitcher of lemonade. I clasped my hands together and rested my elbows on the table. "Thank you for meeting me. I know how strange this must be, to be talking to your son's ex-girlfriend who's pregnant by someone else." She shook her head, as if to tell me my concerns were unfounded.
"It's my pleasure, Gia. I was definitely surprised when Rush told me, and a little disappointed, to be honest."
She quickly placed her hand on mine to clarify.
"Not in you." just in the fact that I knew what that might mean for you and my son. Yeah, I really hoped she wouldn't judge me because of how I'd gotten myself into this predicament via a one-night stand. At least with Rush's dad, she'd been in an actual relationship, at least from her point of view. I don't know how much Rush told you, I said. He told me everything. You don't have to explain anything to me about how it happened. I'm up to speed on that. Don't stress out over explaining a thing. She reached her hand across the table again, placing it on my arm. How are you? Blowing out a shaky breath, I said, not too good. I feel guilty for feeling so sad because that's no way to bring a child into this world. And I'm afraid that all of my negative energy will somehow affect the baby. But it's really hard to be happy when you feel like your world has turned upside down. She looked sad for me. I'm so sorry, but I assure you it's temporary. Things always get better. Not necessarily easy, but better. Can you tell me a little bit about what your experience was like when you found out you were pregnant with Rush? Melody closed her eyes momentarily, then said, Well, you know, my situation wasn't that much different than yours. His father wasn't in the picture. I think what helped me in the beginning were a few things. Learning to take things one day at a time and understanding that you don't have to do more than that is really key. It's all so overwhelming that even thinking about it can be enough to make you go crazy. There are so many things you feel you need to do to prepare, but really the only thing you need to do right now is to breathe and to take care of yourself. There's no reason that you can't just take each moment as it comes. You don't have to deal with everything all at once, and you certainly don't have to have all of the answers. Her words brought me a little comfort. That's always easier said than done, but I will really try to remember that. She gestured to the fruit platter. Please, have something to eat. Melody poured some of the lemonade into a glass and slid it in front of me. The other thing is to understand that it's totally okay to not know what you're doing, to fly by the seat of your pants. There is a first time for everything, and a lot of it's going to be trial and error. Things like changing diapers, feeding the baby. It will all seem like second nature once you get used to it, but there's no real way to learn how to care for a baby aside from actually doing it. And again, no one expects you to be perfect out of the gate. Good, because I am pretty sure I'll be a mess. She laughed as she put a grape in her mouth. You'll surprise yourself. There was a moment of silence where she just looked at me from across the table. I don't know why I felt compelled to say, I don't have a mother, you know. Melody's eyes were brimming with sympathy. I know. I couldn't remember if I told you that. I stared off, contemplating my lack of maternal role model. How am I supposed to be a good mother when I don't even have one? Because it's innate. She said, without hesitation. You're a loving, caring person who will do everything in her power to care for her baby. She likely never had a motherly bone in her body. You're not your mother. I truly hoped she was right. As I processed her words, tears ran down my cheeks. Melody moved her chair around to my side of the table and embraced me. We stayed like that for a while until she gave me a napkin to wipe my eyes, then said, It will be okay. It's hard to know that now, but trust me. It will. She got up and started walking toward her bedroom. I'll be right back. I want to show you something. A few minutes later, she returned with a photo album. She planted it on the table. I'm pretty sure Rush would kill me if he knew I was showing these to you, but that's too bad. There were so many photos of a young Melody with baby Rush, who was surprisingly blonde as a child. He still had the same naughty grin and expressive eyes. Melody looked so young, and her hair was really long. When she came upon a set of photos that looked like they were professionally taken, she grinned from ear to ear.
I remember this day. She covered her mouth as she pointed to a particular shot of baby Rush sitting on her lap. Oh my gosh. I'd taken Rush to the Sears portrait studio. Right before this, he'd puked all over his brand new outfit. I was in tears because the mall was quite a long drive for me and I didn't want to have to come back. So the photographer gave me an outfit for him that a previous customer happened to leave behind. You see how his overalls are a little big? Look at that drooly, toothless smile, I gushed. I know I was so stressed out right before this, but once the photographer got us settled, Rush was hamming it up for the cameras. I left feeling so lucky, in a totally different mood compared to how I'd walked in. She gazed off into space for a moment before she looked at me. That's what motherhood is like. It's a series of ups and downs, but it's all worth it, Gia. Trust me on that. I kept staring at the image of baby Rush's big smile. It was reflective of the natural goodness built into my tough guy. My tough guy. Had I not gotten the memo that he wasn't mine anymore? What's wrong, Gia? Melody must have noticed the sudden expression of sadness on my face. Damn pregnancy hormones. The realization of it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was falling in love with your son before this happened. Rush made it clear that he's not ready for all of this. I don't blame him. It just sucks, you know? Because he and I, we really had something, but I understand why he can't be with me. I do. I'm so sorry. If I had a magic button, I wish I could make this right for both of you. I wish my son felt differently, too, but if there's one thing I've learned about him, it's that I can't tell him what to do or how to feel. But I'll be rooting for you. That maybe he has a change of heart about it. I wondered if she really meant that, or if deep inside she didn't want her son to be with someone who came with baggage, when he could likely have anyone he wanted. I'd never know if she was telling me the truth, or just wanted to make me feel better. There was no way I was going to get my hopes up in any case. There was too much at stake now to worry about my broken heart. I needed to focus on the little heart beating inside of me instead.
Chapter 21. It had become my new nightly ritual. Standing outside of the Heights for several minutes at a time during peak hours, I'd be outside smoking while I watched things from afar through the windows. When nightfall hit, the lights inside the restaurant gave me the perfect view of the hostess stand. The glare on the windows meant she couldn't see me watching her. Being inside for long periods of time was too much for me lately. Plus, I needed to smoke even more, as if it were somehow going to take away this feeling that I couldn't even describe inside of my chest. I would smoke cigarette after cigarette, alternating between nodding to patrons as they entered and peeking in the window to make sure Gia was okay, that she wasn't standing too much. Everything had changed, and yet nothing had changed. I still felt everything I always had for her. The only difference was I couldn't act on it anymore. That fucking killed me. It killed me to admit to her that I wasn't cut out for what she needed. It killed me to see the sadness in her eyes when I did. But I wasn't going to risk letting down a child. That's where I draw the line. She would find her way eventually. She would. I just needed to help her land on her feet. Then I'd encourage her to move back to the city once I knew she was going to be okay, that they were going to be okay. In the meantime, I wanted her here where I could keep an eye on her. Smoke billowed out of my nose as I alternated between staring out at the water and over at Gia through the window. I'd just put my butt out with my foot and blew out the last of it when I looked up to find two men lingering around the hostess station. An alarm went off in my head. One guy was leaning into her and being too damn aggressive for my liking, while the other just looked drunk, laughing like a fool. A few minutes later, they were practically up her ass, blocking my view of her. That's it. I was done watching. Storming inside, I charged over to where they were standing. "Can I help you with something?" "No, we were just enjoying the company of your gorgeous hostess here." "Well, she's not here for your enjoyment. She's doing her job. Give her some goddamn space."
Gia interjected. Rush, it's really okay. I ignored Gia's plea, vowing not to leave until they were out of her hair. Both men refused to move from their spots. I took two steps closer to them, clenching my fist. Did you not hear what the fuck I just said? Dude, I hear you. I'm just not listening. Then his friend made the mistake of getting up in my face with his beer-infused breath. Who the fuck are you to tell him what to do? I completely snapped, grabbing the man by the neck and dragging him with all of my might out the door onto the street. The other guy followed us outside. I own this place, motherfucker, and I can do whatever I want, I spat in his face before releasing him from my death grip. Oak, who had been up on the rooftop when all of this went down, came running outside. Keep these guys out, I spewed before brushing past him without giving any further explanation. All eyes were on me as I walked back inside. Not the most professional decision of my career, but that was the last thing I was worried about at the moment. Gia looked alarmed as she returned from seating some customers. Don't you think that was a bit of an overreaction? No, I bit out. Now get back to work. I spent the rest of the night alone in my office, ruminating. While I didn't regret throwing those assholes out, it was the bigger picture of what it represented that was eating away at me. If I was going to stay away from Gia, I had to stop being so emotionally invested in her, so damn possessive. It was a hard habit to break. It was just before closing. I suddenly jumped out of my seat and walked through the restaurant without making eye contact with Gia or Oak. I ventured straight out into the parking lot, got into my car, lit a cigarette, then grabbed my phone. I scrolled down to her name. Was I really doing this? I needed to. I typed out a text. Rush. You around to fuck? Barely a few seconds passed before a response came in. Everly. What makes you think I'm still talking to you after the shit you pulled last time, standing me up? Rush. Is that a no? Everly. I wish I could say no to you. Rush. I'm heading to your place. Everly. I'll be here. I must have been going 90 miles per hour the entire way to her house. It wasn't out of excitement to see her. I knew it was because a part of me wanted to get this over with, just to prove I could move on from Gia, because I had to. Everly opened the door dressed in nothing but Daisy Duke denim shorts and a bra. I walked past her without so much as a greeting, heading straight toward her fridge where I helped myself to one of the beers I knew she kept fully stocked there. Well, hello to you, too. She laughed, leaning over the counter, her tits on full display. After downing half of the bottle, I walked over to where she was standing. Everly wrapped her arms around my neck. I'm really glad you called. It's been too long. The old Rush would have been pounding her against the wall by now. I just stood there staring at her with my body rigid, unsure if I could really go through with this. It felt like I was cheating on Gia. And I could honestly say it was the first time in my life that I'd ever given a fuck about something like that. She stepped back. You're sweating bullets. What's going on with you tonight? My eyes trailed down her body. There was no doubt that Everly was sexy as hell. I shouldn't have been overthinking this so much. But I wasn't even hard because I was so freaking stressed. I think I know just what you need, she said, dropping to her knees. She began to unzip my jeans as she licked her lips, readying to give me head. I froze. Taking my cock into her hand, she leaned in to take me into her mouth when I yanked on the back of her hair just before her lips were able to make contact with my skin. Fuck! I groaned as I let her go and zipped up my pants. She stood up and glared at me. What the fuck is going on with you, Rush? Seriously, you're the one who texted me. What kind of a game are you playing? I knew between tonight and the last time I stood her up, if I walked out that door, I could pretty much kiss any hope of meaningless sex in the future with Everly goodbye. That fact didn't mean shit to me. So off I went. I just couldn't go through with it. This wasn't a need for sex. This was a test. And I'd fucking failed. Stopping in the doorway, I finally apologized. I'm sorry. Get the fuck out, and don't even think about ever calling or texting me again. She slammed the door in my face.
Her words didn't faze me as I walked back out and got into my car. I didn't start it right away. Just stayed there, staring out at the desolate street. My behavior tonight blew me away. Unlike the ride to Everly,